welcome into the Box Score. Terry Collins along with Murphy Farron. Murph, we're tired of the snow. We're tired of the cold. Bring on spring.
I'm ready for spring. If it came tomorrow, that wouldn't be too soon.
That's for sure. Let's go ahead and look. We had the DeKalb County at Watertown. Seth Hackett and I did. That was last Saturday. Looking at the scores, Watertown pulls away in the second half. Molly Followill, a big fourth quarter. She had 21. Macy Brady was 16. And then for DeKalb County, Chloe Van Branken had 20. DeKalb falls, and that is now a district game for Watertown. And Watertown now sits on top of the District 8-3A standings.
But they are from different counties, right?
That
I've got that part figured out.
Wilson County and DeKalb, Murph, you're exactly right. In the boys' game, Watertown boys get a huge win by 3, 48-45 over DeKalb. Devin Brown, 14 points, 4 threes. Caden Clark with 13. DeKalb County was led by Logan Duke with 16. Elliot Barnes with 8. As Watertown at home, I talked to Coach Honeycutt after the game Saturday afternoon. He felt like that was probably the best game they played all year. Let's go ahead and look at the Cannon at DeKalb. They played, I guess that was Monday night, up in Smithville. Cannon County girls wins at 72-55. Abby Alexander, a big night, 28 points. Riley Young was firing those threes there, Murph. She wound up with 21. Brooklyn Fusion had 18 for DeKalb, and Chloe Van Branken with 15. But Cannon County got the offense going.
Easily the best game of the season for Riley, and she's just a freshman, Terry.
Right.
But she was filling it up, especially in the first half, and really was a big spirit among the girls out there on the floor.
Looking at the Cannon and DeKalb, Cannon boys win it 77-59. Miles Alexander, a big night, 27 points. Lucas Phillips with 25. That's 52 of their 77 for DeKalb. Logan Duke with 15. Drew Cook with 12. Murphy, you got two outstanding players there in both Alexander and Phillips, and that is not a fluke that they score that many points. Both of them excellent offensive players.
Kind of a regular thing. But Miles took some beating a little bit from his older sister because she had 28 in the girls' game. He just had 27.
And she shot 20 free throws in that girls' game?
That's probably right.
It was a bunch.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it sure was. Let's go ahead and look at the Gordonsville girls. Clark Range was canceled, and they will not be making that up. And then they played Gordonsville played Smith County last night, lost 55-43. That was dropped Gordonsville's record of 19-3. They're still 5-0 inside the district. And, you know, a lot of people have been beating up on Clark Range this year. And, you know, I'm sure that Coach Brock would love to see her team travel to Fentress County and come home and win. That doesn't happen very often.
I got to ask you, Terry, were you surprised that Smith County won that game, not by a little bit, but by a dozen, given the fact that Gordonsville only had two losses all season?
Well, the thing in that game, I really think, you know, that was the largest lead of the game for Smith County. That game was much closer than that. But Gordonsville only made 3 of 18 field goals, Murphy, in the second half.
Oh, dear.
And that, you know, when you don't shoot the ball well, I think they wound up 1 for 10. From three-point range. They had hit those shots at Gordonsville and didn't make them at Carthage on Tuesday night. Let's go ahead and look at the Gordonsville boys. Of course, they canceled at Clark Range, and then they lose to the Owls 73-52. That was the final as Smith County sweeps the season series. In fact, that was kind of ironic is that it was 73-57 at Gordonsville, and then 73-52, Gordonsville boys dropped to 12-10. They've still got some very important district games. Another thing, just like Watertown's hosting the district and region, Gordonsville gets to host the district and the region this year.
Got that new gymnasium over there, not very old at all. It's a fun place to go for sure.
Let's go ahead and look at the Cannon County girls scoreboard. Cannon County wins it over Monterey 71-42, and then they drop one to Tullahoma 61-40. Coach Ashley Patrick's team's now 11-9. They're 2-2 in District 6AA, but they've got a chance if they upset York And they've still got Smith County coming to their place, so they've still got a chance to get tied for second in the district, Murphy, if they can beat Monterey, beat Smith County, and even they could still lose to York.
Well, we talked to Coach Farrell in this show as well, and he talked about the fact that Smith County, Cannon County, and York are three excellent programs on the hardwood, boys and girls, so you never really know for sure what's going to happen when those two play.
Let's go ahead Go ahead and look at the Cannon County boys. They get a big win over Monterey, 80-42, but then a very disappointing loss to a very talented team, Tullahoma, 71-44. Tullahoma, the state runners-up in Class 3A a year ago. They're coached by Jason Welch, the former Macon County coach. Of course, Jason is from the Tullahoma area. So they're sitting there at 17-6 in second place in the district at 3-1.
Well, they're second place statewide as well in 3A basketball. So two really good programs, and they kind of handed our hats to us, if you will, because both of those meetings in Tullahoma and Woodbury were pretty one-sided in favor of the Wildcats.
Let's go ahead and look at the Smith County girls. Of course, they've only had one game. That comes over Gordonsville. They beat them 55-43, kind of pulled away late. But when you look, you know, it's no rest for the weary. When you look in a seven-day period, the Lady Owls are going to have four games. They're going to have on Friday night, they go to Monterey. On Saturday, they come home to play York. On Tuesday, they played Lebanon, a very good squad at home. Ellie Beth McDonald and Maggie Kelly, both who played Smith County Middle basketball, return home. And then on Thursday night, they go to Woodbury. So that's a pretty tough seven-day stretch.
Well, we had three in 4 days, so right. That's what happens when you got to make up those games because of the weather.
That is for sure. Let's go ahead and look at the Smith County boys. They get the win 73-52 over their Cross County rival. They improved to 15-9. They're sitting on top of the district at 3-0, but there's still three district games to be had, to be played, and two of those three will be on the road. And, you know, that York team, which will come to Carthage on Saturday night, Murphy, we've seen Coach Rodney Pyle's team improve as the season has gone along.
Yeah, they're not a team to be reckoned with, and it wouldn't surprise me how that game turns out any more than the one on Friday night.
For sure. Let's go ahead and look at Watertown girls. They get the win over Macon, 56-37 in Lafayette. We talked to Brenda Price a little bit later in the show, and I talked to her this morning. She was very pleased of how her team performed in that game. They sit on top of the district at 3-0. Let's go ahead and look at Watertown's boys. They lose at Macon 62-47. I talked to Coach Honeycutt as well, and he was disappointed on how his Purple Tigers, coming off a big win, Murphy against DeKalb on Saturday, to then go to Macon, and Michael Owens' club gets the 15-point victory.
I think the one thing that bothers high school coaches, regardless of sport, is consistency or a lack thereof. I mean, some teams can show up and score 80 points and then play somebody the very next night and struggle to get 50, you know.
Let's go ahead and look at the DeKalb girls. They beat Central Magnet. They're 2-1 in the district with that 59-53 victory. So Brandy Alley's team trying to inch up and be in that number one or number two slot. Of course, their only loss was to Watertown. And looking at the DeKalb County boys, they beat Central Magnet pretty handily, 68-46, coming off a very disappointing loss when they played at Watertown and was defeated. We will go ahead and have an interview with Coach Brenda Price when we return to the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys, We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank, at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Regardless of where you call home, you can relax even more when you trust DTC Security to keep tabs on your home and your family's safety.
For just $49.99, get a system with a touch keypad, 3-window or door sensors, motion detector, key fob, and standard installation. Secure your home and guard your future with DTC Security.
Don't wait until something happens. Contact DTC Security now and take the worry away at your home. Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
And welcome back into the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank. Terry Collins along with Murphy Fair, and we've been joined by Brenna Price of the Watertown Lady Tigers. And Coach, with the recent snow, seems like the schedule has got compacted over this last 2 weeks of the regular season, and I'm sure that's the case for Watertown.
Yes, sir, it has. You know, you always enjoy a little bit of downtime, but it does kind of stink when you're looking to reschedule, you know, multiple district games and all that fun stuff.
What you end up having to do is play on Monday, Thursday, or Saturday because all the Tuesday and Thursdays are already covered, right?
Yes, correct.
Brenna, what kind of change was it for you because you were expecting to play Friday night against the Cab, and then, of course, you got a little snowburst there, and you wind up calling the game off and had to play it Saturday. Do you feel like that helped your team, hurt your team? What effect, if any?
I feel like it hurt us, just to be honest with you. You know, we had already been in the gym Friday morning, walked through. I felt like we were focused. I felt like we were locked in. I sent my kids home, and then we had to call the game with the weather moving in. And anytime you play early, you know, we played it at 1 o'clock on Saturday. I feel like anytime we're out of our routine, sometimes that messes with us. You know, we knew it wasn't going to be pretty either way. We've been off for 6 days, but I think we were more focused Friday and ready to play. And I think calling it that late kind of threw us for a wrench, but that's all right. I still feel like we came out and competed and did what we needed to do Saturday.
Coach, I've talked to both the boys and girls coach at Canning County. I have to do that on a regular basis, and they've had to do the same thing, but they've had scheduled practices almost every day, even when school was not in session. They tell me that it kind of messes up their whole schedule because when they get done with that practice, it's not like they have to go back to the classroom because there's nobody in the classroom. But do most of your players live in either in Watertown or on a fairly traveled road that you were able to get all your girls to come in for regular practice sessions every day or close to it?
No, we were completely closed. We didn't get to practice until Thursday of last week. And so we literally, we played on the 22nd, we practiced the 23rd and kind of told everybody, like, hey, we don't know when we're going to see you again. This is not good for us right now. Don't sit around and do nothing for the extended period. So we were off that Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We lost 4 days of practice right there. We're able to get in on Thursday. Still had some kids that couldn't make it. And then Friday, obviously, we were planning to play, so we didn't have a full practice because we just kind of walked through, canceled that game, and then turned around and played on Saturday. So it definitely affected us. We were totally shut down as a county, as we should have been. You know, the road, it was not safe. I couldn't get out of my driveway. But, you know, you never want that in the middle of season, especially in the middle of district play.
Everything about it is just about everybody in Middle Tennessee has had to go with that schedule. Even if their father is the director of schools, it still doesn't help a whole lot, does it?
But it doesn't. No pull there, I'll tell you that for free.
Well, Brenna, it looked like maybe the assistant coach or your husband should have shoveled that driveway off. Is that not in his contract?
You know, I take what I can get. That was not in his contract, his coaching contract, for that to happen that week.
Brenna, when you look, you've now seen every team in the district on the court. You're sitting there at 3-0, leading district 8-3A. I know you've still got three games left before the district tournament starts. I know that you've got to be tickled to be sitting on top, but you've kind of been preaching to your squad, hey, you know, we may have got them at home, now we've got to go on the road, whatever the case may be in those three games that are ultra important in determining seeding.
Yeah, and we preach that to our kids, you know, one game at a time. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past, even if it was a week and a half ago. You still got to show up and play well. We still got to prep well. We still got to be focused. And you know, anytime you're playing this level of basketball, I don't care what district you're in, if you don't show up to play, you're going to get beat. And we've got a 12-hour rule. We're celebrating for 12 hours. We're going to come practice today and start working on the next one. And, you know, ultimately basketball is tournament sports. So great for season, regular season wins. But ultimately you want to have that success in postseason play.
Coach, with so many 4 and 5 team districts, I can't help but think there's going to be a lot of ties for first place, a lot of ties for third place. Is there a standard that everybody goes by the same standard, or do each district have their own rules as to what's going to break the tie?
You set those kind of tie-breaking rules earlier on in the spring for your district. Ours is head-to-head. Then I believe we go to a coin toss. And so, you know, each district kind of gets a say. That's pretty typical, I feel like. And just kind of preaching to our kids, though, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where it has to come down to a flip coin. You know, you need to make sure you do what you need to do. That is where regular season is important for that tournament seeding and how you line up there.
It really needs to be settled on the floor, doesn't it? Not by flipping a coin.
Yeah, I agree. But you know, sometimes you don't take care of business on the floor. You're within the coin's decision, I guess.
Brenna, when you look at your new district, which is Macon County, Watertown, DeKalb, and Central Magnet, I know that you can scout all you want to, but when you get on the floor, sometimes that changes. Maybe a player that you didn't know that could score winds up scoring. Have you saw very many surprises in some of these new teams now that are in your district that you maybe didn't expect when you saw them earlier?
Yeah, we had seen most of them. In fact, all of them at some point this summer. Just watched some of their games. Obviously, we didn't play them. But you know, I watch a lot of film and I do a lot of scouting and try to get to in person games when I can. And at some point, every team has had a player that was not on our radar kind of going into the season. And you look up and you're like, man, they've got 8 or 10 points tonight. If we let them get hot or they play like this, that changes kind of the dynamic of that team. And so being diligent with our kids about not overlooking anybody on the floor and not looking overlooking anybody in those scouting reports. We've got to know what they do. And just to be honest with you, we kind of over-prepare in that manner. Because at any point, you know how it is in girls basketball, somebody can get hot and change the whole team, so to speak. And so we've seen that a little bit this year. We've seen kind of different game plans for us in district play and before district play that I had not done a good job of preparing us for, and so making those adjustments as we need to.
Coach, this year it seems like more than any that I can remember in the last few. We've certainly had to reschedule games because of the weather. But there were other games that were not rescheduled but probably should have because you had two or three of your starters out with the flu or some terrible cold or something. Has that affected you as well, or is your team pretty healthy right now?
We have not dropped any games. We have definitely seen our share of a lot of sickness, just to be honest with you, a lot of injury. One through 15 on my roster, just to be honest with you. And I'm a big believer that can't be an excuse. We've dropped some games without some players that could have impacted the game, and I've told my kids, and I stand by this as a coach, you know, that's part of playing the game. If you walk into the game with an excuse of so-and-so's not here or so-and-so's not 100%, then you're beat before you walk in the gym. And I've tried to preach that to myself as a coach and preach that to my kids. Everybody's going through it, and who knows? I mean, it's given us an opportunity for some of our younger kids to step up, and I think in the long run, it's going to make us better, not just this year, but down the road as we continue to build with this group.
Brent, I saw where Macy Brady got her 1,000th point. She's been a staple in your program for all 4 years, and I know it's an individual accomplishment, but one that I think is well-deserved. On her behalf, she's another one that has battled injuries this year and maybe throughout her career, but you know, continues to keep her nose to the grindstone.
She is, and we're super proud of her. She's missed 5 or 6 games this year with ankle injury. She had the flu, she had the stomach bug. And you know, I always meet with everybody before the year starts, and we go over some expectations, and she told me, she said, Coach, she said, I know I'm close. I don't want to know how close. That's not what's important this year. And I think that speaks to her, the kind of teammate she is, the kind of kid that she is. She had no idea going in how close she was. We didn't even tell her last night before the game. We just, you know, she asked for that, and we felt we wanted to honor that with her. And you know, my favorite thing about our team is my other kid's reaction to her success. She has been a key player since her freshman year. And you know, and I tell them this all the time, you know, our job, basketball is our job. But I want to see them be successful off the floor. And she's just a kid that, you know, when she leaves this program, she's left the program better than she found it, but she also is going to be very successful at whatever she does.
Coach, it's got to be a real feather in your cap to have players like that, because they're the ones, whether they score a lot of points or not, that kind of action that they have both on and off the floor are hard to find sometimes. But I think all of our teams around here have a handful of kids that are like that. They just love the game so much that they can care less whether they make the 1,000-point club or whatever the case may be. With that said, if in the next 2 or 3 games she does surpass the 1,000-point mark, do you stop the game and present the ball or
she
anything?
Did it last night.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We stopped the game last night. We're going to present her with a basketball Friday before the game. And we, you know, we acknowledge that, and we're going to celebrate her a little bit after practice today. But she looked at me afterwards. She said, all right, we got to keep playing. We still got 2 quarters to go. And that is a testament to what she means to our program and the player she is.
That's awesome.
Coach, looking at the DeKalb game, of course, we had that on Saturday. It seems like you really found your groove late third quarter and then the fourth quarter and pulling away from DeKalb. And I know there's not a magic button that Brenna Price pushes to get your team playing that way. But I really felt like, and I even made the comment with Seth Hackett which is good friends with Seth Price, and we'll leave it at that, during the game, that I felt like everybody's trying to get the rust off the pipes. And that once, maybe after you sprinted up and down the floor a few times, that we'd see a better second half than we did a first half.
I think that was true. I mean, definitely true at the DeKalb game. You know, like I said, you sit around for 6 days and nobody gets in the gym. You're just trying to – you hate for it to be a district game that you're trying to clean the rust off, but that's just the way the schedule fell. And we all season have kind of had the same tempo. You know, the first half tends to be closer than we would honestly like for it to be at halftime. But third quarters in the past, this year, especially the second half of the season, we've done a better job of capitalizing on this is where the win is going to come from, is how we play the third quarter, and you know, picking up the pressure, so to speak, just a little bit to try to break away. And I felt like, I told him this, I said, I felt like, you know, anytime you win a district game, it's good, it's a win, but I need the team that showed up the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter from tip-off for the rest of the year.
Coach, I felt like Folwell in that game really got in a groove offensively for you. She made some threes. She created some plays for you. I know she's always, I call her the Energizer Bunny at 5'3", at, you know, 100 pounds or whatever, but she plays so hard on the defensive end, very, very active. And then on offense, she's looking to create and looking to score, been a big leader for you.
She has, and, you know, she had no surgery in the middle of the year, missed a couple games right there dead in the middle after Christmas. And she has came back, and I told her this the other day, she has came back and probably played the best basketball consistently the last 8 or 9 games that I've seen her play on both ends of the floor. You look at her and you think, okay, but she, you know, she's number 2 in rebounds for us, and she's our smallest kid on the floor every night. She just brings so much energy defensively, and has done a great job of kind of leading us in that point guard spot offensively, especially in close games. We've got 3 games regular season. Central Magnet comes to us Friday. Macon comes to us on Tuesday, and then we finish off the year at DeKalb on Friday.
Wow, it's over. It's hard to believe that it's already gone, right?
I know.
Coach,
I know.
Where's your district tournament? Is it at Watertown?
Our district tournament is at Watertown this year.
And then the region?
Is also at Watertown.
Well, wow. You really hate that, I guess, right, Coach?
Yeah, I know.
Home gym? I mean.
I know.
But, you know, that speaks to the facilities that you have as well. I know it's central. When you look at the map, that Watertown's there in the middle, but having the facilities you have, you know, I don't know of any coaches that wouldn't love to come there and play a district or region tournament.
We take pride in it. The school's been here for, I guess, 10, 11, 12 years now. And I'm proud of this place. Obviously, I grew up here. And we've already, you know, been working on tournament prep and just making sure everything is up to my standard of cleanliness and organization. And we're excited to host. We haven't hosted here in a very long time. And so we hope that serves us well here in this stretch.
For our viewers, I have one quick question. Do you have a hospitality room with plenty of food?
We're going to have a hospitality room for all the coaches and staff and officials and all that. We've already got that lined up.
Well, Brennan Price, we appreciate you visiting with us. Good luck in these final 3 district games. I know we'll be seeing you in that final regular season game when you go to Smithfield.
Appreciate it, guys.
Coach Price has been our interview, and we'll have one with Matt Farrell, the Smith County Lady Owls, when we return to the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank, at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Regardless of where you call home, you can relax even more when you trust DTC Security to keep tabs on your home and your family's safety.
For just $49.99, get a system with a touch keypad, 3-window or door sensors, motion detector, key fob, and standard installation. Secure your home and guard your future with DTC Security.
Don't wait until something happens. Contact DTC Security now and take the worry away at your home.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome into the Box Score. Terry Collins, Murphy Ferrum, Justin Malden, always doing a great job for us. We want to thank our title sponsor, which is Wellworth Bank. And we've been joined by Smith County Lady Owls head coach, Matt Farrell. And Matt, I'd say that the feeling that you had this morning a little different than when you woke up on December the 13th after you'd gone to Gordonsville, lost by 9. I know winning by 12 last night had to make you feel a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think we played particularly well last night, but we've been off almost 2 weeks, so I was kind of expecting that, especially early. But I thought we'd done a really good job weathering the storm, so to speak, and, you know, made plays to kind of get back in, weathered their run, and then kind of made a run to get back in. You know, I told them we were down 1 at half, and I felt like we should have been down 10 at half. So I felt like we've matured a little bit in that we don't let those plays snowball into – you know, 6 or 8 plays, which is an improvement for us, and showing a little bit of maturity maybe.
Coach, it's been kind of a crazy season. If it wasn't the weather closing school and eliminating practice in a lot of places, it was the flu or a really bad cold that kept people out for 3 or 4 days. How have you dealt with all of that? I know you've been coaching a long time and you've got to just expect things like that, but I'm just wondering, was it any harder this year than it has been in the past?
I mean, I wouldn't say it was harder. I always complain to the other coaches in the building and stuff. Basketball is the only sport that has to deal with weather interruptions and the flu and sickness and all that stuff. And, you know, our kids have been pretty fortunate this year as far as the illness bugs and stuff, but we had several that were sick right before it started snowing, and I think that snow actually probably helped us a little bit because it gave us a chance to get away from everybody and kind of, you know, get healed up. And but I mean, the disruption is terrible for us because we're a very routine team. We want 2 hours of practice every day. They want to be shooting. They want to be in the gym. So even when it snowed out, I mean, we got kids that go up and get in the gym on their own and get, you know, find places to shoot. So that's helpful. But it does, I mean, it does cause a disruption. But like you said, it causes it for everybody. So I don't feel like anybody ever really gets an advantage. But yeah, it does cause a disruption and cost you time with your team, I guess, is the best way to look at it.
I think in the upper Cumberland, it's worse there than a lot of places just because of hills and hollers and everything else. There's a lot of places in Cannon County and Smith County alike, the sun never shines on it. So,
that's right, and it's tough. I mean, it's tough to get. It's tough to ask them to come out when it's not good. When the situation is not good. So,
Coach, last night, of course, Gordonville coming in 19-2, having an outstanding year, and you get behind 12-1. It looked like we were nearly in shock, kind of like the fans as well. It's like, oh no, but then you rebounded from that and wind up, you're down 7 in the first quarter. You grabbed a brief lead there in the second quarter before being down by 1. All the while hitting 5 out of 11 free throws, 13 first half turnovers. I know that had to bother you because those turnovers didn't necessarily lead to Gordonville points, but it erased an opportunity for you to get a shot up.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing I told them. I felt like we should be down more, but in reality, we were down 7 at the end of the first. We come back and we go up 5 there at one point late in the second, I think about 2.5-3 minutes to go, and we give up an offensive rebound for a putback and 1. And then we go down and immediately turn it over, and then we come down and we're lost on defense and don't guard Heron, and she makes a uncontested three. We weren't anywhere close to her. And so I told the girls at half, I was like, I feel fortunate we're only down 1, but in reality, we should be up 8 or 10 because you just gave them 6 points. You just handed them 6 points at the end of the half right there and cost us 2 opportunities to score. So I felt like we were just, we come out a little lethargic. We come out a little bit like I was worried we would. We haven't played in a while. Of course, they haven't played in a while either, so that's not an excuse. But I thought the schedule that we put together and the opponents that we played pays dividends in games where you get behind or where you don't play your best, because we play, we got 24 games on the schedule, I think, plus Christmas tournament. And of those 24 games, we could easily have lost 20 of them. I mean, if we don't show up, you could lose just about any night we play with the schedule we have. So I think the girls just know, like, they're going to make a run. We're going to make a run. Basketball's a game of runs, and we just have to make sure that we weather theirs and put together, a better run of our own. So I think that's kind of what happened last night.
Coach, you guys still have to come to Smith County. To Cannon County, and that's going to be a tough battle. I think it was a 2-point game when we played at Bill Landreth's gymnasium. But we've got to play York before we get to play you. And there's still some really tough games for all the teams. Maybe Monterey's the exception there, but between York and Smith County and Cannon County, there's still some very serious basketball to be played before the tournament.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of good games left to play. I mean, we've got, of course, York Saturday. Y'all got York Friday. We got them Saturday. Cannon has York Friday. We got them Saturday, and then we have Lebanon Tuesday, and then us and Cannon play each other on Thursday. So, I mean, realistically, that's 3 really tough games for us to end the year. And Cannon County is a place that we historically have not played great. So, we'll have to have our best effort down there. They're always very well prepared. Their coaching staff does a really good job getting out and making sure they've covered all their bases. So, we'll be expecting a war down there just like we will, with York on Saturday. So that's a good part of our district. I feel like there's 3 teams that could win our district. And, obviously York's clearly the favorite, I would think. But I think there's chinks in their armor this year that haven't been there in the past. So, it's going to be an interesting next 7 or 8 days right here to see the end of the year.
Coach, if you want to pass a little money under the table, we might soften York up a little for you on Friday night and see if that helps you or not.
Well, I told Ashley, I said, if y'all could press them the entire 32 minutes and keep it close enough they have to keep all their starters in, that'd be great. Maybe wear them down just a little bit. Maybe we won't get them at their very best on Saturday.
So, I'll remind her of that when I interview her on Friday, okay? We'll see if the story is the same from her as it has been from you.
Coach, in your game against Gordonville, a 55-43 victory, you did something that you hadn't done this season all year, and that's put 4 players in double figures. I know you love to have that balance.
Yeah, we've been really trying to get that all year, and just, we have 3, and then, but it, we might have 3 with double figures, and then the rest of them are two or three. And we've got to, you know, we've got to figure out a way to get three or four kids every night where they're putting up 10 or 12. And it makes Emory's job a lot easier, and it makes KK's job a lot easier. I mean, we're allowing people to guard us a certain way because those two have been so dominant. So, the others are going to have to step in and make some plays. Haley Overstreet had a really good game last night. Daisy Claywell played really good last night. So, and I feel like that shouldn't be an exception for those two. I think those two can play that well every night, based on what we ask them to do. So, I think you'll see in the next week or two, I think they're going to be a little more confident in what their abilities are and what they're being asked to do based on how other people are guarding us. So, I'm optimistic that that's going to continue.
Coach, I'm looking at Terry's scorebook, and I see that Gordonsville had one girl in double figures. Your girls must have played really good defense last night.
Yeah, I was happy with our defensive effort. I mean, I at their place early in the year, we really felt like we gave one away to them. We led, three and a half quarters, but they made the 50-50 balls. They got the effort plays. They got the offensive rebounds. The stuff that we typically get, they got. I just felt like they were a lot better from an effort standpoint than we were. So we really talked about that a lot in the last few days, and really wanted to put an extra emphasis on making sure we were defending better. At their place, I think we held them to like 20 in the first half, and then they scored 40-something in the second half. So we were not happy with our defensive effort there or our rebounding effort, and I thought last night they done a lot better job making other people make tough plays and not giving up easy stuff.
Coach, when you look, you're going to play Cannon County in all likelihood twice in 8 days. You're going to play them at their place, and basically all you'll be playing for there, if you beat Monterey on Friday night, is who wears the light colored jersey when you play them again in the district tournament at Monterey at 7:30, 1 week after that. I know you don't want to divulge any secrets, and we're not asking you to do that, but do you hold anything back knowing that that meeting in the district semifinals is the most important of the three meetings that you'll have with Cannon County to that point?
Oh yeah, we hold stuff back with, Cannon, York, anybody that we're going to play in games that we feel like are big time games. We have places on our scouting report that we'll put, probably going to do this down the road, saving for later or something along those lines, just so the kids know. Because sometimes they'll come to me like, I think we can do this. And it's something that we've already talked about as coaches, but I'm like, it's not quite time yet. So yeah, but the thing is, Cannon will do the same thing with us, and York will do the same thing too. So, everybody's hoping to shoot their best shot when it matters the most, So I feel like everybody will, our district coach, the three main teams in our district, the coaching is a very high level, I feel like. And we're all kind of playing the same game. Everybody's playing poker with each other right now, just trying to hold our cards till the last possible second. So I feel like we're all in the same boat on that. And, whoever put together the best game plan and then go out and the kids execute it, that'll be what makes the difference.
Coach, is your game with York at Carthage or at Jamestown?
It's at Carthage.
Okay, because we're not
going back to Jamestown for a year. We already done that. We don't do that.
Once a year's enough, isn't it, Coach?
Once a year's enough. I don't even go up there to scout, so that's an off limits place, except the one time I'm required to go there.
Coach, when you look at the importance of that semifinal game, and I'm not trying to, I know you can't ever wish whatever you think is going to happen, but it looks like the four teams out of the corresponding district, which is Grundy, Sequatchie, Marion, and Bledsoe, are not real strong girls teams. So I think it's very important that semifinal game of the district tournament, which will happen there in a couple weeks on Thursday night, very, very important that if you could get that, then you're going to be opposite of York until you got to the region championship game, which I think is what most teams would want.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's in the same boat on that. I mean, it's that district semifinal game is a big one. Obviously, region semis is a big one also. And whoever's in our 1-3, I mean, if it's us or Cannon, if it's York or Cannon or York or us, that 1-3 region semi game is going to be – going to be an absolute war. I mean, like I said, I feel like in years past, if York were the one, nobody wants to be the three. And not saying anybody wants to be the three now, but I think with Cannon or with us, if we're looking at it like we're the either of us are the three playing York in a region semis go-home game to get a sub-state, it's a lot more doable this year than it was, you know, in the last four or five anyway. So, I mean, obviously you don't want to be in that situation, but if you get in that situation, I don't feel like it's as bleak as it was at, you know, at one point in time. I think Cannon, from what I've seen in the Cannon-York game, I think Cannon could do some things that would cause York some trouble. And I mean, I think we've got some things that we can do and cause York some trouble. So, one really good team, honestly, and I've told Ashley this, I think we have three teams in our district that are top 10 teams. And one of them won't be playing, you know, come the 10th or 5th or 6th of March. So that's a disadvantage for our district being as good as it is, but also an advantage because if you get to the sub-state, you got a real chance to get to the state tournament and have a chance to win it if you can get there. So
going to sub-state, that would put us probably against some team
Nashville.
West of here, yeah. Right? Probably Nashville, yeah, or somebody,
yeah,
in Hickman
Nashville,
County.
Earl Cone, most right. likely.
Coach, when you look at the festivities last night, you had alumni night, and you had a lot of former players in, a lot of players that had played for you that were there, and then you had a couple off my mom's team in 1962 that was actually there. I know that was a special night to have all those alumni back on both the girls and boys' side, and it was a packed house at Bill Lander Gym.
Oh yeah, the crowd was great last night, and you know, we like doing the alumni events, and you know, we had the two teams from the 70s back last year at some point, and you know, about every one of those ladies made it. You know, they made a priority to come back, and you know, that's something we try to talk about with our kids. I mean, with our team, is like, it meant a lot to these people, or they wouldn't be coming back 50 years later. And like you said, I mean, there were three there, I think, last night that signed our alumni board that played in the 60s. So, you know, those people have been graduated for, you know, 50, 60 years now and are still coming back to a place that was special to them. So, you know, getting that environment, getting that crowd. One of the kids last night said, I wish our crowd was like this every night. And, you know, as we get into the tournament time, that becomes more and more prevalent. But, you know, Smith County is a special place. I mean, we've got kids that want to be at Smith County. Parents that went to school here and grandparents that went to school here, and it just means a lot to them, and they want to see it be successful, and I think that's a huge part of why we've got the success we've got the last few years, is those kids really want it. They want to see it, you know, they want to win here. They want to see it be successful here. And you know, like I said, if you've got people coming back 40, 50 years after the fact and still wanting to support the teams, that says a lot about how special a place it really is.
Well, Matt Farrell, I feel pretty qualified to say this, that you make it feel like family, and kudos to you and Chelsea for doing that. It's more than just basketball to you. You care about their lives. And
it's a family.
That's right. And I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, if we get a state championship or don't, or go to the state tournament or don't, I think that means more down the road. These people that are lifelong friends now because they played high school basketball.
Yeah, you know, that's something, you know, I tell people all the time, I feel like culture is so important with any team, with any organization. And we have kids that genuinely care about each other and want to be here. And you know, that's something that every place don't have. I mean, you can go in gyms and see, you know, me and Lane go to a lot of games like y'all were talking about earlier, and there's places I go and I'm like, man, their culture's not good. You can just tell by the body language, you can tell by how the kids interact with each other. And you know, I've been very fortunate in the 4 years I've been here. We've had kids that got along with each other, that like to be around each other, that spend a lot of time with each other, and you know, it makes it a whole lot easier for me to want to go to work, if you call it that, every day. Knowing I've got kids that want to be there, that are passionate about, you know, about winning, but also passionate about loving each other and, you know, being, you know, like you said, lifelong friends after the basketball is over. And most of the kids that have graduated since I've been there, I talk to at least once every couple weeks, just check on them, make sure they're good, you know, check on how their lives are going. And to me, that's a part of what coaching is. And, you know, I know everybody doesn't feel that way, but I feel like if you pour into their lives outside of basketball, the basketball stuff will take care of itself. So that's, you know, that's kind of the approach that we take. And thankfully, we've got kids that don't care that we're as actively involved in their lives as we are. So that's a blessing for us as well.
Y'all got to quit or I'm going to start crying, you know? But that's true. And I think we can speak that way of all four teams that are in our district. It's just the way it is.
That's true. Well, Matt Farrell, we appreciate you visiting with us. And best of luck to the Lady Owls.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having us, and thank y'all for covering the Lady Owls. We appreciate you.
Okay. Thanks, Matt.
Matt Farrell been our guest from Smith County. And when we return, we'll have a look at the upcoming games of our five schools that we cover. As we remind you, you're watching the Box Score brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
And welcome back to the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank. Terry Collins, Murphy Fair, and Murph, I know outside, still spitting a little snow. Winter's hanging around, but they're saying next week, 70 degrees, bring it on.
It was 33 at my house when I left to come to this high noon taping today. Right. So, it is supposed to be, I think, high 50s, maybe even 60 on Friday. So,
and I know that'll be a welcome relief for lots of folks.
Especially when we're going to Jamestown.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to snow. You don't want to get snowed in Jamestown.
No, you don't.
That's for sure. That old Jordan Motel might not hold you. I think that's the name of that thing.
I don't know.
It is old. Let's look at the upcoming schedule for Cannon County. They did move it up an hour. Going to start at 5 p.m. Instead of the normal 6. And then they'll travel down to Jasper and play Marion County on that February the 9th. Murphy, of course, Marion County not in their district. In fact, Marion is 2A, where Cannon, I'm sorry, they are in our district.
They're in our region.
That's right, in our region.
They're
that's what
in
I mean.
Our region.
Not in the district anymore. But still, that would kind of give you a feel of,
what to expect.
What to expect
there.
If you were to see them in the region tournament.
Because we've played Sequatchie County, and I think our coaches have watched Bledsoe, and obviously they will have watched Marion after Monday, so
Grundy's on the other team over there.
So. That's right.
Let's go ahead and look at what's ahead for DeKalb County. They'll have to travel to Lafayette to play Macon, and then they'll go to Central Magnet. So two big district games, especially for the girls, who are surprisingly there in second place right now behind Watertown.
I can tell a huge difference in that girls' team from when we played them in early December. Their coach over there, Eddie's done a really good job, I think, of getting that team where she wants it to be.
Let's go ahead and look at what's ahead for Gorenville. Of course, very busy. Right before we take this show, they did drop that final game, which is on Friday, February the 13th. They were supposed to play Jackson County up there, and that has been canceled. When you look at the three district games they've got left, they've got Knowledge Academies, they go to Trousdale, and then they've got Clay County at home. Of course, Clay County is not a district game, but it is a possible region matchup, Murph.
Yeah, we could have told them a long time ago you shouldn't play on Friday the 13th anyway.
That's
right?
True. That is true. Let's go ahead and look what's ahead for Smith County. They travel to Monterey up on the mountain on Friday night. Of course, Murphy, I think in going to Monterey and playing up there late in the season may help a little bit.
Sure, they get used to the gym.
That's right, get used to the gym. Yes, they played in the district and region there before and will in the future, but still it's a little bit quirky in the fact that when you go out to your dressing rooms at halftime, you walk through the crowd
right,
upstairs,
right. Yeah.
Which is very, very different than any other gymnasium that you're in.
After running up and down the hardwood for 16 minutes, then they got to climb 16 rows of right. To get to the locker room.
And they do have an elevator, but it doesn't hold that many. Then they'll have York at home, especially a big game for the girls and boys. Boys trying to hang on to first place in the district. Girls trying to knock off York, who's beaten them 17 or 18 times in a row back to 2017. And then a very tough Lebanon team under former Cannon County alumnus Corey Barrett coming to town on Tuesday night. So it should be a big week of basketball for the Owls and Lady Owls.
We've got a really good chance to either flip a coin or look at some other tiebreaker because right now we've beaten York. You all have beaten us, and everybody's still got to play each other again.
Right. That's for sure. Let's go ahead and look at what's ahead for Watertown. They've got Central Magnet home and Macon at home. And, you know, when you look at that, Murphy, you know, if Brenna Price is going to have an opportunity to win the regular season district crown, you know, she's got to win these two. And then if she gets a little bit of help and DeKalb were to lose one of their games, then she could have the regular season championship wrapped up before she goes to DeKalb in that final regular season game.
And those three wins she has, I believe, have all been on the road, too, so she gets to play them at home now. Isn't that right?
Let's see. I believe that's correct, but as far as no. No, she went to Central Magnet and she went to Macon.
Okay.
Yeah, the first time. So right. This is, of course, the second round for that. And Murph, when you look, I know that hopefully we won't have any snow or bad weather. They're saying, you know, some nicer temperatures next week. I know that people are tired of being inside as far as locked inside, can't get out. So I'm sure the people will be flowing to the gym saying, hey, I just need to get out and about.
Absolutely. They could care less who's playing or who wins or who loses. They just want to get out of the house.
We want to thank Wellworth Bank, who's our title sponsor. We want to thank Justin Malden, always doing a great job for us. And for Murphy Fair, I'm Terry Collins. Good night from the Box Score.